Start again. Start.
I didn't know that that's what he was doing. See, and the fire chief said, look where you wound up at, in the churchyard. That's where I wound up, when in the wreck.
Yeah.
And then I had to have a place to move. I lived with my dog down the trailer a few months, and it was terrible. So I seen Greg turning people's water off. He said, Dad's got a house up there. So Ted fixed a house up for me, and that's up in my own neighborhood.
Amen.
So that's where I'm going to stay till I die.
Amen. Amen.
God's been good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody else, what are we doing? We're just praising God, you know, without the music. Glory to God. It's somebody else. Don't make me call on you. One of you salty Christians, you know, it's been around a while, you know, come up here and there you go, Mayor.
First of all, if God can turn me around the same way he turned you around, he can take us out of the streets and place us into positions. Don't ever think that God has canceled you out. Your current situation doesn't dictate your future. And when we become obedient, when we bow to him and implement his ways, he begins to elevate us from glory to glory. I can't even begin to praise him enough for where he's brought me from. The path that I'm on right now is not easy. I cannot please everybody. But know that my heart is true. Know that I'm trying to do what's best for the city of Ironton as a whole, not some special interest group. But there are tough changes that have to take place right here in Ironton. And I'm not here to be reelected, but I'm here to do what thus saith the Lord. He's called me for this point in time right now to do what he says, not what the public says. And I thank him. I thank him for giving me a boldness to stand up for that. I thank him for giving me the courage to go against the crowd and not with the crowd. It is not easy. And I told Bernie on Friday, there was a time I thought I was going to lose my mind over these 3 years. But God is faithful. Amen. He is faithful, and he remains faithful in the storm. He said, I'll prepare a feast before your enemies, and I'm right in the midst of it, feeding on him. And he's good. His peace surpasses all understanding. And if you continue to be faithful, if you continue to do what's right and not fall by the wayside, he will show his power perfect in your life. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. You know, I'm hearing things that people are telling us, all these testimonies makes me think that God is good. Amen. Well, come on, Jackie. You've been around a long time.
Well, the Lord has been a deliverer to me. Amen. He delivered me from, what was that, 8-16-75s? What was that, Mike? Those black beauties. Remember those black beauties? 18-8-75s. I love those black beauties. And he delivered me from crack, from alcohol, that's right, from cigarettes, from marijuana, from being just a constant liar, because I would tell the lies, you can't prove it lies, like somebody, the bill collector would call me, and is Jaquetta Dufour there? No, no, she's not here. She doesn't live here. And, you know, I would tell a lot of you can't prove it lies. And I was, when I worked at Allied, I was one of the biggest thieves that was there. I mean, I would pack my stuff because I felt like they stole from me and I was going to steal it right back. And God, you know, delivered me from those things. And I'm telling you, he gave me a life. When I started paying tithes, he started giving me a better life. He started introducing me to lifestyles of like the rich and not quite the famous, but you know, when I started seeing what everybody else had, I started wanting it, you know. And he put not a covetous ideology in me, but it was like, hey, this stuff is available to you. There are people with new furniture, you know. And it really cost my husband when I started paying my tithes, because I was like, I want some of that action. But God has always been good to me, and I'm expecting more and more from him. So
amen. You weren't covetous. You just realized there's a better way. There's a better life out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's next? Come on. Somebody. Don't change, change. Shake like you've been changed.
I haven't been like Katrina and Sam and Mike. I was raised in church, and I didn't realize I got saved like when I was 10 years old, and I didn't realize that God was with me when, you know, when you're a teenager, you get out and do things that you shouldn't do. But I never realized how much God took care of me until later in life. But he has always been there for me. When my mother died, I swear to you, a car went through my car. And we were just sitting there looking. My kids can tell you. They were with me. And we were all just mortified. We were sitting there and we thought we should be dead because that car went through our car. Because I pulled out in front of it. But God protected us from that. And he knew that how my heart was hurting. And he has helped me every step of the way. I've been through a lot of trials. And I've been through a lot of tribulations. But God is faithful. And he is always with me. And my kids are saved. They're Christians. I'm working on my grandchildren. So, anyway. Amen. I love the Lord. And he has always, always, always taken care of me, even when I didn't realize that I needed it.
Amen. Amen. I think he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Praise his mighty name. The same grace that kept Aunt Diane is the same grace that saved Tommy and me and you. Amen. I'll never forget. There was a young man at the church we went to, and he said, you know, I hear all these testimonies about all these things, bad things these other teenagers have done, and I never done any of that. And the elderly gentleman that was there with us, he said, son, the same grace that saved them has kept you. So you need to praise him. He said, you don't need to come out of something to praise God. You just need to praise God because you've experienced his grace all your life. So God is good all the time. Somebody else. Well, let me come over here because they can't hear. Aunt Mary might be watching and she can't hear what you're about to say.
I'm one of those that God has always been with me and taking care of me. And you know what a great mother and a great family we've had?
Yes.
And how good we've had it?
Yes.
And like I said, always.
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 Always. Amen. God has been good always. I'm over here.
God is good to everyone all the time. And no matter what you're doing, he is there. And if you call on him, he will answer.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what I got out of this. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Amen. I don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody else?
I just want to say, man, I had a rough life coming up because all I know was alcohol. And my brother got murdered when I was 15. My dad died when I was 16. You know, all I know was drinking and stealing and fighting and partying. Michael got me to come to church, and I quit all that stuff now. I still smoke cigarettes, though. Got to get rid of that. But God's good. God's good. I got my mother coming. I love that. And
amen.
Just, I love everything. I love you guys.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I got to tell you, when my wife and I, when we got married, she smoked them Virginia Slims. They was about that long, you know. But there wasn't enough, you know, some people go around looking for a butt, a cigarette butt. You might as well, don't worry about hers, because there wasn't nothing, you know. But she smoked 3 packs of them a day. You ought to come up and tell this. Y'all, come on, I'll stay right here with you. Okay. Debbie doesn't like to be in the spotlight. She doesn't. She does not like to be in the spot. I put her on the spot. But anyway, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and she laid those 3 packs of cigarettes down. Well, she finished the carton, but... But she never smoked again. And it helped me because she used to drink sugar in her coffee. Well, she used to have a little coffee in her sugar. And then you're smoking them cigarettes one after another and drinking coffee. Coffee goes right with it, right? And so I said, man, that coffee's strong. Oh, it ain't strong. Well, when she quit cigarettes... Then she started, you know, cutting back on the sugar. And then she said, that coffee is strong. So it helped me out because, and now it's funny, I'll drink a cup of coffee straight up, but she cuts hers. She'll make 3 cups out of the same pod. You know, so she drinks it weaker than I do now. So, but the point is, God delivered her from that. So if you want God to deliver you, he will. Amen. You just got to have, you got to be able to be man enough, woman enough to make the decision. And then you got to be man enough or woman enough to stick with the decision you made. Amen. And that's why the devil comes in like a flood sometimes. It's because when we get saved, we come back to God. We've made a decision for God. Now the devil's going to come and test us to see if we're man enough to stay with that decision. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many know this world's crazy, right? Yes, Aunt Diane. He will. Amen. Come here, Lori. You got to come up here. You got to come up front. Who knows? Vicky, Aunt Mary, Maggie, and John. Hi, Maggie and John.
Well, you know, I love the Lord, and he saved me at a young age, but I wasn't always where I was supposed to be. I've never done anything like a lot of people have, but I had a spirit of black and white, and I didn't have compassion because I just saw things one way. But I've been through a lot, and the Lord has given me compassion. Amen. For the things that I have never done for other people. And we've been having to go to court with my cousin, and I saw somebody down there, and they broke down because I saw them in court for drugs. And I went over and I hugged her. I said, I love you still anyway. Doesn't matter. Sat down, had a good talk with her. Hopefully we'll see her come in the door someday. But I want to thank God for allowing me to have an understanding of what other people go through and to see the gray areas and not just see things black and white. And I want to thank him for allowing me to give me the spirit of forgiveness.
Amen.
And so, you know, you just have to understand other people. You know, we don't know what their life has been like or what they've went through. And even though you've never been that one, and I was pretty harsh on my sister. I've been harsh on my cousins. You know, but when I start to get harsh, thinking, the Lord says, no, you don't know what they're thinking and what they've done, been through. So it gives you able to be more loving and just pray for them instead of being that person to come down on them. And I just think that's important.
Amen.
Really important.
Amen.
And that's it.
Amen. Amen. See, we don't know what people's been through. You know? I was raised in a terrific family. My dad's family, my mom's family. You know, both of them. Great families. I have great memories. Wouldn't trade my childhood for anybody's. But not everybody has grown up with two parents. Not everybody's had what some of us have had. So when they come to church, we need just to accept them, bring them in. Amen. Throw our arms around them. I liked what Tommy said. I got a family now.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're just bragging on some of you. You got people. That's right. Anybody else before we move on?
Boy, I'm so thankful for God that He knows our hearts. I'm thankful for the deliverance you all talked about. Maybe I don't have the same deliverance story, but He delivered me, and He's still delivering me. I ain't got there yet. I don't know about you, but I just haven't arrived completely yet. God's still keeping my eyes. He opens my eyes. Same way as He opens yours, He opens mine. He's wanting to develop in me a person that understands the greatness of who He is, that my testimony for Him would count. And that's all it is, isn't it? Your testimony counts. You never realize how much it's going to mean to somebody else until you forfeit the thing that's holding you back. You forfeit that you can be able to praise Him. I understand you so much on the compassion part. I was very harsh because I was raised by strong parents, and my mom was black and white with her. She was a school teacher, and you know there was the learners and the ones that didn't want to learn, and she had to work with them all. And yeah, she really had compassion, but if you would meet her, you would think, oh Lord, you know. And that's where I would be at. I'd go out and I'd see students, and I'd think, well, they didn't like my mom, and they loved her, but she was hard. She was very hard. But hard doesn't always mean no love. God delivered me from self-pity, a spirit of self-pity. And let me tell you, it's insidious. It'll get on you, and you won't even know that I'm operating out of feeling sorry for myself. You won't even know, you know, because you're just so caught up in it. The Lord said in Psalms 119, it was said to the Lord, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. None of those things, self-pity, harshness, we don't want to let them have dominion over us because we want to be molded to be like Him. I love the Lord. I remember the night that I was praying, and He said, I want you to start going over to Church of the King. And I had toyed around and tried it a few times, you know, and I go right back to where I felt like I was supposed to be. And at that time, I was in a pretty miserable, self-sorry position, and I didn't even want to hear God. I wanted to stay where I was at because I didn't have to do much different. I didn't have to quit thinking my thoughts, and I felt pretty sorry for myself. I went through a divorce that, you know, I didn't deserve this, God, blah, blah, blah. It's got little fingers, that self-pity thing, that as you start in getting them released, you don't realize it's still holding you. But he said, I want you to start going there. And I'm so thankful that God directed me here, and then I got to meet you all, and I've heard your testimony and how it strengthens me. Your word, you being here, and the God that you wear on the outside strengthens me. Amen. You got one. You got the testimony of God. You all have. You don't know how I think about listening to you. You had another one?
I had another brother in 98 in Juarez.
Yes. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, you're so welcome. I remember that. God made a distinct thing in my heart to remember that. I remember him saying, I got a cousin that's a scoundrel. He's coming. Please pray for him. Wrote it down in a book. You know, I wrote it down. You see, God knew I was going to be here. He knew I was going to be here at a certain time. Do you know God knows your steps? He desires our steps, and if we will stay on that path that Brother Bernie was talking about, if we stay there right in the middle where the devil doesn't get to throw the water on us, we don't get to listen to the self-pity story of poor you, you might as well just stay home, you're not any good for anything anymore. Don't. And you know, the lies that the devil tells you supports that spirit of self-pity, and you just keep on believing it. But God wants to break you out of that. He wants to deliver you from the bondage that that puts on you, and he wants you to see who you are. You are mighty in God. Don't ever forget it. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the deception. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Keep on believing. Nobody, no life can be wasted if you let God have you. None can be wasted. He can turn us around.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake, shake, shake. You've been changed. Hey, Bernie, what's insidious mean? What's insidious mean? You didn't even hear it, did you? We'll find out after service. Insidious. I said, what's insidious mean? See? Hey, that's okay. You got, okay, just kind of eases in. You got the offering envelopes? Google it. My phone's laying over there. We Google stuff around here if we don't know it. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Enjoyed each one of those testimonies. Hallelujah. Change, change, change. Has it come back on? You think it's dead? Anybody got an extra grand they want to throw in the offering plate? Oh, well. Spell 1000, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D if you're making out a check. Yeah, seems like we're going to be buying a new computer this week. Shake, shake, shake. You know what? The devil tried his best. We still praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You need an offering envelope? What?
I haven't said this before, but when I got, I grew up, I wasn't in church, wasn't around church, nothing like that. But it seemed like every girl I wanted to date went to church. And I dated Debbie. We could date or anything we wanted to do. If it was church time, she had to be home for church. And I dropped her off one night, was going to church, or she was going to church, I'm going home. And the next thing I knew, I'm sneaking in the back door of the church. And I got saved that night. They were talking about smoking and everything. After that, I didn't know how to grow up in church or anything like that. I always heard if you can go to the wrong church and get in the wrong thing. So my answer to that was I wouldn't go to church. That way I didn't get in the wrong one. And there's a lot of people like that. And I finally got to the point where, Lord, if this is all you got, you can have it back. And that night, the Lord delivered me from, I had a shotgun loaded and rigged to commit suicide. And I tried to get Debbie to go buy me a pack of cigarettes, and when she come home, I would be dead. You couldn't have pried that woman out of the house with a 2x4. I mean, you know, she would not know. And it was God's plan. The next night, I went with somebody to a revival. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was smoking 4.5, 5 packs of cigarettes a day. And that night, I threw them down. And that was February 25th, 1977. And I've not had a cigarette since. And, you know, it's not me what I did. It's what God did in me. And what God did for me, what he's done for all of us, and how he wants to deliver everybody and show that he walks with us and talks with us and throws his arms around us and says, I love you.
Amen. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I pray that we thank you for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. And we thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll use it to expand your kingdom. You'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll have to put a fan in that one to download everything we got in there. Huh? I'll leave that up to you. That's above my pay grade. Way above my pay grade. That's right. And the other people haven't gone, you know, through this path to get where they are. Sometimes we act like we've never been through anything. And so I just thank God to hear everybody's testimony. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody's going through something. Right. And everybody handles it a different way. But when you're going through things, you need to trust God. He'll bring you out. And that's easy. That's easy to say when everything's going well. But it's a little difficult when you're the one in the fire. Amen. That's why we need each other. That's why the testimonies help build all of us up. You know. Amen. Got your Bibles? Somebody tell me where the first baptism is in the Bible. Anybody, somebody. First baptism. John the Baptist. Anybody else? First baptism we see in the Bible. All right, I'll share it with you. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Page 3 if you got a Bible like mine. God's plan for you and I, everything God planned can be found in the first 3 chapters of the Hebrew Bible. You know, the Bible says that the Hebrew Bible, the men and women of the Bible, that of the Hebrew Bible, and the things they went through are given as examples for us to live by. They're also called types and shadows in here. And so in Genesis chapter 1, it's full of types and shadows. It's a picture and a reality of your life before God came into it. I've already listened to several testimonies about what your life was like before God got involved. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can I tell you something? From the beginning, God never intended for heaven to be separate from earth. He always wanted them to be one. What did Jesus teach the disciples? How to pray, thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth, or on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God's always wanted them to be one. Now let's keep reading. We got to find this first baptism. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Without form is this word, tohu. Void is this word, bohu. And tohu can mean confusion, empty, vain, vanity. At its root, it means morally and spiritually bankrupt. These two words are combined in this one sentence to convey the idea in Hebrew that in Genesis 1, verse 2, there was total chaos on the earth. You with me? And God says in Isaiah 45:18, I don't create chaos. Okay? He doesn't create confusion. Something happened. Now, personally, I believe that Satan was cast out of heaven, and that's why all the chaos and all the confusion here on the earth. Okay? Remember, Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning. Well, how could Jesus see him fall like lightning in Genesis 1, verse 2, when Jesus wasn't born until Matthew chapter 1 or 2? Well, because Jesus was God's wisdom. He was God's precious instrument of creation. Amen? That's how he saw him fall like lightning. Now, let's keep reading. So there's a state of chaos here, right? How many of you could say that before God got a hold of you and gripped your heart, your life was chaos? Have you ever known somebody? I know this person. They go from crisis to crisis to crisis. The man was knocking on my door at 20 minutes to 9 this morning. He got a job. It's a union job. But then they hired, and the union made him hire the guy back that he was supposed to take his place. Really? Nothing can be simple. I mean, I said, did you come here just to tell me all that 20 minutes before I'm about to leave for church? You got to know I got a history with this guy. Okay? And his life has always been chaotic. And the reason it's been chaotic is because he'll serve God for 2 weeks at a time. Okay? Made a decision for God, but he's not man enough to stick with that decision. Chaos. Here, let me tell you this story. You don't talk about chaos. Somebody's life is messed up. Our number two son, Brett, there's somebody that he works with named Leo. Okay? Leo is a woman who identifies as a man. So she gets a locker in the men's locker room. And they have to refer to her as he. Or they get in trouble. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, it gets better. It gets better. Leo's partner is a man who identifies as a woman. Now somebody help me with that. You talk about chaos. You thought you were messed up. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know what locker. I don't think he works there. I just brought that. I said that so you would understand that this world is in chaos. Amen. People are, I mean, we have literally lost our mind. I mean, they even, there's a group now saying that you can't just pick up your baby and change his diaper without asking permission. Come on. We've lost our mind. You know, I'm 61 years old, and my mom don't ask me for permission for anything. She never did. She never will. And some of you grew up with the same kind of mama. But the point is, the world is in chaos, just like you were in chaos. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the world is in chaos again, okay? It's morally and spiritually bankrupt. And can I say something to you? That's the world today. Thank God for the 2 billion Christians in this world. Amen? Because I believe we're praying, and I believe God is on the move. Amen? So let's watch now. Verse 3. Let me finish here. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, the word for light there is the word or in Hebrew, and it means order. Now, notice, the earth is in a chaotic state without form or void. It's chaos. But then God has his Spirit hovering over the earth, brooding over the earth. And then God says, "Let there be light," or "Let there be order." You with me? See, your life was in chaos until the Holy Spirit began to hover over you and begin to woo your heart and draw your heart and bring your heart to the place you made Jesus Lord, and now order has been restored to your life. Amen. See, I told you everything that God's doing is in these first three chapters. It's a type and a shadow, an example. See, because you were in chaos and God has now brought order to your life. Let's keep reading. I want to show you something. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together.'" Watch, here's your first baptism. "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas." Now the word gathering there, it's an interesting word in Hebrew. It's the word mikvah. And it's the same word for baptism, a baptismal pool, a mikvah. There are mikvahs all around the south end of the temple. I don't know how many hundreds of them. There's one really cool one. There was a stairway. It's called Robinson's Arch today because it was discovered by an archaeologist named Robinson. It was an old stairway that connected the southwest side of the Temple Mount. And you know, up until, I don't know, maybe 34 years ago, dirt was all the way up. You know, they've excavated all the way down to Herod's Road, and the original stones from the temple that the Romans tore apart and threw off there are there now. You can see them. It's pretty cool to see. But right there at Robinson's Arch, there's a really nice mikvah. You walk down the steps, you immerse yourself, and you walk back up the other side, and then you went to the temple. You always immersed before you went to the temple to serve God, okay? You wanted to, the idea was to get all the thoughts. It was symbolic that when you went under the water, you were getting rid of all your cares, all your worries, all your frustration in order for you now to go up and worship God at the temple. Amen? And some of those mikvahs, I know Jesus had to immerse himself in. Or John and Peter and some of those good old boys, you know, that we read about in the scripture. I'm sure they were in those mikvahs. Because they're right there at Robinson's Arch, where they could have walked easily, went in that mikvah, walked up those steps to the Temple Mount. And there's all kinds of mikvahs around the south end of the temple, the original steps that went up to the Temple Mount. So it's really, really neat. So your first baptism now, we see the earth coming up out of the water. And let's keep reading here. And God gathered the dry land, earth, and the gathering together the waters, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Now watch. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Now the word seasons there, it's the same word that we see when describing the feast of the Lord. It's the word moed, and it's translated seasons. It's also translated as feast. Did you know today is the 11th? I don't know exactly the time, but today begins a period in the Jewish calendar called Teshuvah. Teshuvah means repentance. Amen? The idea is, now, you have 40 days from today to get your heart right with God before Yom Kippur. Now, what was Yom Kippur, Pastor? Yom Kippur was the one day that Bernie was talking about the tabernacle or the temple. It was the one day the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat for the remission of Israel's sins. So there was a 40-day period called Teshuvah. Now, during that Teshuvah, the first 30 days, okay, you were to repent. You were to search your heart. You were to go make it right. And then on that 30th day or 31st day, they have it's called Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets, or the feast of trumpets. And they would blow the trumpets. That announced what was called the 10 days of awe. In other words, you might not have been paying much attention on these first 30 days to repent, but guess what? You got 10 days left to get everything right with between you and God and you and anybody else you had odd against. You hear me? Because you want to make sure that you had repented before that high priest went in with that blood. Because if he doesn't come out, your sins aren't forgiven. Aren't you glad this morning your sins are forgiven? Because you have a new high priest who also is a better sacrifice with a better blood that went into the heavenly Holy of Holies and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. Amen. We have no need for another sacrifice. We have no need for someone else's blood. We have no need for a new high priest. We have one. Amen. And his name is Jesus. So the earth is in chaos. The earth gets baptized, or God creates light, order. You got, your life was in chaos. You got born again. God brings order. What's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to get baptized in water, just like the earth did. Now, I got to tell you something now. When the earth got baptized and come up out of the water, what happened to it? It became fruitful. You with me? It became fruitful. I heard all these testimonies. I listened to Bernie in Sunday school talk about witnessing to someone and how whole families got saved because of that. There's a story in Acts 16 about the jailer. Peter and who's in there with not Paul and Silas, not Peter. Paul and Silas, they're beaten and thrown into prison. The Bible says at midnight they were praising God. Seriously? We forget to praise God. We ain't got the money to pay the electric bill. These old boys were beaten and thrown into prison. They start praising God. An angel shows up and breaks all the chains off of them. The jailer sees him set free. He starts to kill himself. And Paul says, hey, ain't no need to do that. Let me tell you about Jesus. And the Bible says that the jailer got saved and all his family. So your life was chaos, but God's restored order. Now he's going to baptize you, bring you up out of the water. Now he expects you to be fruitful. Amen. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about what God has done for you. Amen. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell people. And don't cuss them out because they run a red light or something. Then try to tell them about Jesus. Okay? Don't wear your I Love Jesus t-shirt into the grocery store and act like a heathen. Huh? Because somebody got the... Well, never mind. You heard that joke, haven't you, about the cop that pulled the lady over? She was waiting in line. There was construction. She had to wait. She was honking the horn. She was cussing and carrying on. The cop was behind her. Finally, he gets out, and he goes out, and he says, ma'am, I need you to step out of the car. And she said, why? He said, I just need you to step out of the car, put your hands up on the hood. Why? Well, ma'am, I've been watching how you act. And on the bumper of this car says, I love Jesus. She says, so he says, so I know you must have stole this car. She said, this is my car. He said, ain't no way, ma'am. Because it says, I love Jesus. You're sure not acting like him. Now, that's an extreme, but you understand what I mean. You're to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. I like what Lori said about being compassionate. You know, we need to be more compassionate. Bible's very clear. If we judge without mercy, we will be judged without mercy. That, for me, that's the scariest scripture in the Bible. To think that I could stand before a holy God and be judged without mercy because I was unmerciful here on the earth. Whew. That's in the book of James. You guys can look it up. Look it up. All right. I don't need to go there. I've been preaching a long time. So today we're going to baptize several folks here. We're going to the river, going down to the river, okay? And we're going to put them in the water. And I will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Now, why do I do it that way? Because there's some people say, if you don't baptize in the name of Jesus, you ain't really baptized, okay? But let me ask you something right now. Okay, all you folks that are getting baptized, you're saved right now, aren't you? Yeah. Those waters aren't going to save you. You're already blood-bought and born again. So remember, God brought order to chaos, just like he did to your life. Amen? Then he baptized the earth. What baptism is, it's very symbolic that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. When you go under the water, that water becomes a grave. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when you go under the water, it's very symbolic that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But when you come up out of that grave, it's very symbolic that now you come into a new life in Messiah Jesus. Amen? With a new family. Glory to God. And now you have a new commission to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. That's going to be hard for Charity, because she manages the kitchen at Red Lobster. So she's got to take every day that place is packed, she's got to bring order to chaos. And she does it. Just like God brings order to your life. Amen? Glory to God. That's a mulligan. Yeah, I didn't do too good raising my kids, so I always said my grandchildren were my mulligan. You know? So, some of them, the jury's still out on a couple of them, but, you know. So you're going to be baptized today. You're going down in that water, and you're coming up. It may take a few. How many times? Well, listen. Jesus meets Nicodemus, and he explains to Nicodemus, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That's the first place you repent. You repent, you're born again. And Nicodemus is like, how can a man be born again? How can he go back in his mother's womb? And Jesus actually chastises Nicodemus a little bit because he says, aren't you a teacher in Israel? You don't know what I'm talking about? See, in Jesus' day, there was people called proselytes. They were Gentiles who decided to come over into Judaism and worship the God of Israel. And they had to do three things. If they were a man, they had to be circumcised. They had to bring an offering to the temple. But then they had to be baptized, immersed in water. And it was believed that when you went under the water, that was your old life. But when you came back up, you came up a Jew. And if you had any debts to a Jew, they were forgiven. All your debts were forgiven. Just like when you repented and asked Jesus to come into your life, all your debts were forgiven. Amen. You are truly a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what baptism is, I believe it's an outward testimony of an inward work that God's doing in us. Amen? Anybody have a question or a comment before we move on? Because we're going to change up the order. I decided I didn't want to sit downstairs and eat smelling like the river. Because we don't have a shower here. So we're going to eat first today, then go baptize. Well, you're supposed to get in the water for 30 minutes after you eat. We're not going swimming. Okay? We're not. Besides that, there's no scientific proof to that. I heard somebody say that once. Or I read it on the internet. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Hallelujah. I want you all to stand up. Now, I want everybody that's going to be baptized to come up here with me. Just come up here with me. I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to do anything else to you or nothing. I just want you to come up here. Okay, just line up right here, just like right there beside Tommy. Okay, line up here right beside Tommy. Okay, that's a big group. You coming up here? You don't have to do it again. Okay, you need to come up here and stand. There you go. Now here's what I want you all to do. I want you all to go around, come up here. Shake their hand, give them a hug, and tell them welcome to the family of God. Amen? But before you get started, I'm going to pray for the food. I'm not going to hug him. I'm going to go right down. No, just kidding. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Give them a hug. Tell them you're glad they're in the family of God. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Welcome to the family of God, guys, and the family of Church of the King. We're glad to have you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you guys can go back and be seated. We're going to pray, and we'll go downstairs and eat a bite, and, you know, we'll head down to the river. We don't need a permit for this, do we? You're rotten. I was pretty sure we were. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for these people, Lord God, that are now part of our family. And Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. Father, I thank you for the great testimonies about your goodness this morning. Father, I ask you bless the hands that have prepared the food today. Lord, I ask you bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, keep sickness and disease from our midst, and we'll never fail to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.